God is making all things new. This morning we're going to teach on trusting God in times of transition. Somebody say amen. All right, let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you that we can always trust you, regardless of circumstances and what's going on in our life. We thank you, Lord, that as we study your word today, Father, you give us present truth revelation of what you're doing, not only in our lives, but in this nation and in the church. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit as our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit always has new revelation for you. Even if you've heard a passage preached several times, there's going to be new revelation if you'll really tune in to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. But trusting God in times of transition, learning to trust God, it's a journey, isn't it? Can anybody say amen? It's a journey learning to trust God. And I read a story, and this kind of highlights part of a little girl's journey. But this little girl was about 4 years old, and she was afraid to go to sleep at night. And her mom were getting ready to go to bed, and dad was gone. He had to work nights, and so they were both just a little apprehensive, and I think probably the little girl felt her mom's fear. But anyway, when they got into the room, they lay down on the bed, and the little girl looked out the window, and she happened to see the moon outside. And she said to her mom, she said, "Is the moon God's light?" And her mom said, "Yes. God's lights are always shining. And if you look around, there's more shining lights around the moon." And then the next question was, "Will God turn off his light and go to sleep? Will he blow his light out?" Because they would sometimes light a candle and take it to their room. And she said, no, God never goes to sleep." And then just, you know, a child's faith. She said to her mom, she said, "Well, as long as God is awake, I'm not afraid." And she went to sleep. So in the midst of everything that's going on in our lives, God's awake. Thank you, Lord, that you're awake. In Romans 8:28, and I don't think this is on my PowerPoint, but I wanted to read this from the Passion Translation. And it's, how many are familiar with the scripture, "All things work together for good"? How many says that a lot? Yeah. Okay, so this is the Passion Translation, and it says, "So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For us, his lovers, who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his Son. This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, he called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his Son." Verse 31. So what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? Woo! Glory to God. He's determined to stand with us, walking through this life, fulfilling our purpose, our destiny, whether we make mistakes, whether we get it right, God is always standing with us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about a word that Bishop gave and some revelation the Lord gave to myself about the season that we're in. And Bishop, you can listen to his word. I believe I posted it on on our Facebook page, and it's on Apostle Leon's. He ministered at Apostle Leon's Word of the Lord also. But he said that we are not just changing from one year to the next year, going from 2024 to 2025. And he said he wasn't just preaching, he wasn't just sharing that night, but he said, this is a fact. We are transitioning into a whole new dimension, a whole new purpose of God, a whole new level. It is all things going to be made new. And before he even got up down at Florida, there was three words that were given prior to him getting up to teach. And the three words said, it's a new day. It's a new way, because God is doing new things. Hallelujah. Somebody say new things. And so we're experiencing this right here at River of Life Community Church. And the word of the Lord, I want to share it again from 2014 from Apostle Leon. We are ready to fulfill this word. The Lord said, I'm opening your sights even higher in ways you have never dreamed, says the Lord. Now listen, it would probably scare you if I said that this place that you are in is not the place that you will always be. I really don't believe that this is the building you are always going to be in. But I believe this is the building you are going to grow in and sow in and go to new levels in. But I just see that God is doing something that's going to be brand new. It's going to be state of the art and will be a whole new part and a whole new vision, says the Lord. I always want your sights to be higher. I always want your sights to be looking farther. And so this word was released over us in 2014. That was over 10 years ago now. And God really brought it to the forefront in the leadership's hearts over this last couple years. And we've been praying, and the Lord said to put the building up for sale in 2025. So here we are. The building is for sale. And good news, there are people interested. And I just want to share with you something that really changed my whole perspective about this building. The first group that looked at our building, which was back in December, they said it was too small. You know, and this building seems like really big to me. And I just thought, well, Lord, that's a whole new perspective. This building is too small for what they're doing and what they plan to do. So lots of people have looked at it, churches, organizations, and there are some that are very, very interested. And so we are believing our buyer is here. That's what we're praying. The buyer is here, and God is putting all the pieces together, because only God can do that, and at the right time we'll get the right offer. Amen? All right, so you be praying into that. But as Bishop was sharing his word, I thought, well, boy, we are in a time of transition. And I know many of you are in a time of transition in your own personal life, but you just got to realize the whole church, the body of Christ, is in a transition, because God is taking us to a new dimension. When you get into a new dimension, you can kind of feel like maybe you're losing your balance a little bit, because things are not the way they used to be. They might not be the way you always like them to be, because church is changing and how we relate with one another, that is changing. What God is doing is changing, and we need to be in tune with what God is doing. Somebody say amen. Oh, boy. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but we all with unveiled face, including beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. And you know, going into a new dimension is all about being changed, right? And the change is, he's transforming us from glory to glory. Glory to glory is to be transformed into the same image. is to be more like Jesus. It's to be more Christ-like and more Christ-like and more Christ-like and more Christ-like as we go from glory to glory. It isn't floating away somewhere or being caught away somewhere. Glory is the presence of Jesus in our lives. And the transformation, the greatest purpose of every person born again by the Spirit of God and every person created in God's image is to be transformed into His likeness. Come on, somebody say that's work. God's for him, right? He's got a lot of work to do. Hallelujah. But God's higher purpose is being activated in us. He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. So to be transformed into the same image is to be more like Jesus. Hallelujah. So Bishop said we're coming into a time of intense warfare. And personally, I believe the warfare is our soul. When we think of warfare, we think of warring against demons, principalities, and powers. You know, Bishop goes on in the Word and he talks about how the biggest enemy you have is you. It is your soul. Hey, this soul resists change. Did anyone notice how their body responded to the fast? I mean, the body has a really loud voice. It will start dictating to you. You know, you're driving home from work, and you see that hamburger place. Oh, my goodness, a hamburger would be so good right now. Doesn't that happen? All those things happen. You get into the grocery store, which the delis are amazing now, and you start smelling all of that. Oh, my goodness. It was so nice yesterday to eat everybody else's cooking. I said, I'm so tired of my own cooking. and the soups and food was just delicious. It was so much fun. But anyway, the soul, that's something to deal with there. You know, we're born again by the Spirit of the God, but our soul is being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Let's go to Colossians 3, 1 to 3. And it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's a powerful statement. Christ is in us, and we are in him. And that is such a mystery. How can that be? And it can only be through the born-again experience. Jesus Christ coming into our heart, into our life, getting in the Word, eating the Word, taking communion, partaking of his body and the blood, recognizing there is something far greater going on than the motions that we go through. There is something far greater going on than just the words on the page of your Bible. Something far greater is going on in the Spirit, because we are transformed, renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're back to that soul that needs a lot of work. Hallelujah. But God's not afraid of hard work. He created the universe. He called chaos into order. And you know, if we will yield to him, he'll call our chaos in our minds into order. He's a God of order. He's a God of power and might, and there's nothing too hard for him. In Romans 6:11, it says, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Self is our biggest enemy. It's not the devil. You know, Bishop said he taught Romans, the book of Romans, in Bible college, and for several years. And Romans chapter 6 is the sin-conscious chapter. And then chapter 7 is the self-conscious chapter. There's 52 personal pronouns in that chapter about me, myself, and I. Self-consciousness. He said, remember that the sin at the very beginning wasn't murder, it wasn't lying, it wasn't stealing, it wasn't lust of the flesh. The beginning of sin was self-ambition, selfishness, self-determination, self-importance, self, self, self. And that's what we deal with. I remember teaching Leonard and I, our first pastor job was teaching the two-year-olds turning three. And one thing we learned definitely about the two-year-old turning three, we were raising our children at the time, but you know those two-year-olds, everything is mine. And they will fight. They'll fight dirty to get their toy or to get what they want. You just see that self nature just rise up in them. And then when we began pastoring adults, I said, honey, I don't think the adults are too much different than what the kids are. That's that whole thing of learning, you know, to mature. You know, it's maturity. You have to teach the 2 and 3 year olds as much as you can, as much as they can comprehend. This is not the way to treat your friend, you know, hitting them over the head, pulling their hair, biting them because they have something you want, right? But anyway, it's all a part of maturity, and it's growing and somebody helping you through those stages of life. Hallelujah. Aren't we thankful for all those who raised us, walked with us, stuck with us, didn't give up on us? Thank you, Lord. But in chapter 8 is the law of the Spirit. And it gives us complete freedom and security in Christ. Romans 8, 1 to 2 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So if you get in one of those self-condemning modes where you're just condemning yourself, not happy with yourself, you have to remind yourself there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You know, if we just sin, we simply go to the Father and ask Him to forgive us. And He will forgive us. It's not that I believe in greasy grace. I don't believe that you can just keep doing that same sin over and over again and just say, oh, well, God's just going to forgive me. I'll be okay. Because there are people that really believe that. They're the people that usually don't think they need any counseling or any help from anybody else because they're just going to work it out themselves because God will just forgive them and they'll just go on. But they have no idea. There's probably some type of ungodly belief, some lie that they're believing about themselves that is triggering them. Have you ever been triggered? Anybody here ever been triggered? Oh, yeah. You find out right away what's going on. You know, it's not a bad thing to get triggered. Because if you don't get triggered, you don't know that thing is there. Isn't it interesting how that will just lay dormant? And then something happens and you are mad. Is that true? Yeah. I mean, we're all human beings, right? We're dealing with the soul. This is all a part of why we come to church, why we study the Word, why we get with God, is because this transformation has to take place in our soul. I've been saying for the last few months, maturity is not a spiritual gift. Maturity is something that we personally work on with other people. Because they will point out your immaturity. If you didn't see it yourself, they'll let you know. Hallelujah. If you have a good friend, they'll let you know. In a nice way. Because we love everyone, right? We love each other. Oh, that was really immature. Okay, let's go on. So the main question is, whose life are you living? Ask your neighbor, whose life are you living? Are you living your life, or is Jesus Christ living life through you? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians 4:10 through 11. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Paul says, we face death continually, that the life of Christ may be manifested in our bodies. And verse 11 says, you know, we continue to face that crucifixion, crucifying this life. It's talking about our natural body. Sometimes you just have to talk to it. That's right, huh, Elder Sylvia? Sometimes you just have to talk to it. Sometimes I was sharing with someone the other day, you just got to say some things out loud. So it sounds like you're talking to yourself, but you're talking to yourself anyway, right? It's just all in your head. If you start talking out loud, then other people hear your conversation. Maybe it'll help them out. I don't know. But anyway, Jesus wants to be manifested in our mortal flesh. He wants to be living his life through us. Wow. I'm sure even as you think about that in your mind, you can see how you've come a long way. In many ways, you respond differently to certain situations that you would not have responded to in the same way 10, 15 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. But there's always more. We're not going to arrive in this life, but we are going to be all that we can be. Amen? We're going to be all that we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. So the meaning of transition in the Bible, first of all, transition is a journey. It's a journey. It's a journey of transformation. Romans 12, 1 to 3, very familiar scripture. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good. Let's talk about this a little bit, because I've heard teachers break this down. You want to get the perfect will of God. There's a good will. There's an acceptable will, but you want to get the perfect will of God. Well, if you look in the Greek, good means benefit, good things, acceptable. Acceptable is freely or fully agreeable, well-pleasing, and perfect is complete in various applications of labor, growth, mental and moral character, completeness of full age, man perfect. Okay, so it's not like it's a transition of we're going to go from the good will to the acceptable will to the perfect will. But I do see a growth pattern here. The perfect will of God, I believe, represents our maturity. We come to full age. It's a completeness. It's as complete as we're going to be in this life, in our lifetime. So good, there's nothing wrong with the good will of God, right? It's almost taught sometimes, I think, as, well, you know, we've got to get to this. And in our life, we need to learn to rest in God and let God work in our lives. Because if you're just always wanting to get this, what you think is the best thing, then yourself is getting in the way, because God has a plan. God has a journey for your transformation, for your change, for you to go from glory to glory. It's not what you planned. Come on, God has a lot of things. We've experienced many things in our life that we would not have planned for ourselves. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. So it's the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. So renewing our mind in Romans 12:2 means interpreting life through the lens of God's word and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, rather than through the lens of your experiences, woundedness, trauma, preferences, or through the opinions of others. That's why the scripture says, study to show yourself approved of God. You get in the word. You study the word, because you're to be a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. You can believe teachings that aren't quite true. Talked about it last week, a little bit, or the week before. You know, a half-truth can be spoken, but there's more to that truth. When you get into the word for yourself, you'll find out there's more. Somebody say there's more. So maturity, the explanation for maturity, our definition, is about reaching one's God-given potential. It means maximizing our skills and talents and using them effectively while growing into the full capability of our individual design. And I took that from the book of Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You, which is a book that we are going to be studying together. And I encourage you to get in on that study. Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You, in chapter 1, introduces us to the idea of having sufficient joy. We need joy strength in our foundation. Our foundation has to be joy for all other maturity and growth to happen in our lives. And so, especially, you know, that is developed in children, in babies. That's the first emotion strength that is developed in a child, is their joy strength. Because joy will help you stay balanced for the rest of your life. It is the very foundation that the Lord created. And Dr. Jim Wilder is the head of all of these studies, but for over 20 years he gathered and observed valuable elements of information and research that came from theology, psychology, neuroscience, and medicine, and he synthesized them all together. Now, Dr. Jim ran a men's house. He has a book that might be interesting for men to read, but it talks about the task and the different stages of life that men go through that they need to experience and learn for them to grow and to mature into manhood. Very, very prolific writer, and everything is written from a biblical worldview. Everything. Dr. Jim, he calls himself a theo-neuroscientist, if I remember right. So he mixes together the theology and the worldview of God and brings in the neuroscience about the brain. You know, we've learned so much about the brain in the last 10, 20 years. It's amazing how much has been learned about the brain and the needs of our brain and how our brain develops. And do you know what? As Christians, we can ignore that, but why should we be ignorant? Sometimes we don't want to, like, listen to something that's new, but what did Bishop say? We're in a new dimension. We're going into a new season. We have so much revelation and understanding, not just in the Word, but what's in the Word agrees with what is in science, and it's coming forth, and it's for our benefit. Right? The good will of God is for our benefit. And it's even acceptable. And you know what it will do? It will cause us to be a complete, mature person who can relate and help other people mature and grow. If you have a bunch of mature, immature people, then that is exactly how your family stays. When adults are acting like the children, and we've seen this over and over, we've been in ministry for years, parents acting out worse than what the kids act out. Come on. If the parents cannot be mature, then how are the children even going to grow? And so that's what we have in our culture today. We're not going there. But living from the heart Jesus gave you categorizes the tasks needed to be accomplished by individuals to mature. Maturity, remember, it's not a spiritual gift. Maturity is developed on the right side of your brain, and it is a developmental task, and it's accomplished in families and in churches in the body of Christ. And what Dr. Jim found out was people who did not experience the maturity and accomplish those tasks in their natural family, those were the very people that God would bring into the church to come into the church to learn, to grow, and to mature in Christ. Amazing. It's an amazing study. Of course, this is my field of study, my PhD. I love this type of thing because it helps us. My desire, our desire at River of Life, is for you to know God, to hear His voice, and to reach your highest potential in the Lord so that you can be released on teams and into the world and into the city, into your job, because you are a minister wherever you're at. And if we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to represent Him well. We're ambassadors of the kingdom, and so there are kingdom principles that we apply to our life that we grow in. It is a growing process. Nobody gets there overnight. Come on, in America, we want things fast. We'll quickly take a course, get a certification, and hey, we're in. We got this certification. Well, you don't even know what to do with it. Come on. You can get degree after degree. Someone came in here a few weeks ago, and they said to us, they go, well, I have 6 PhDs, and my mother has, and I'm thinking, you are full of baloney. PhDs don't come overnight. If you really study for a PhD, I mean, your research module of that is a good 2 to 3 years of your life of constant study. If you've got that many, then you've been studying for the last 20 years, and I don't even know how you could really absorb all of that and even ever use that. You know, I'm still going through, hallelujah, and learning what I studied, you know, learning what I learned from all the research I did. Someone say hallelujah. I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I'm just saying it's important for us to be willing to receive new information, new revelation, when it lines up with the Word of God. Biblical worldview is number one with me. That's why I have a PhD in biblical counseling. That is number one. The truth of God is number one. But you know what? Other things line up with that really, really help you. But anyway, what they found out was when these people would come in, their foundation of joy was not solid. And when the stress of life, the troubles of life, the trials of life came along, things began to crumble. And for a lot of people, they were like, they weren't young. You know, they had been an adult for 20, 30 years. They were in their 40s and 50s. And things began to crumble for them because that joy base had not been established. Because what is your strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is where your strength comes from. This is where joy comes from. This is how we transfer joy. It's because we have the joy of the Lord and we can give it away. Don't you want to give away joy? Hallelujah. But anyway, I can go on and on about this, but we're talking about transition. So transition is a process of growing into the image of Christ. Transition is a process of putting off the old self and putting on the new nature. And that's our responsibility, remember? Tell someone it's my responsibility. The Lord's going to help you, but it's your responsibility. Transition is a process of stripping off what is old and welcoming the new. Transition is a process of changing for the better, from lesser to more, from good to better. Transition is a process of changing from glory to glory as we are continually shaped and refined by the hand of God. Transformation. It's not instantaneous. It's a journey. And it is the journey that we are on. And we're going to quickly look at a passage in Mark that gives us some principles to follow during transition. Does somebody want some biblical principles to follow during transition? Is anybody in here in transition? If you belong to our church, you're in transition. Hallelujah. You might feel it in your own personal life. Hallelujah. We're going to praise him anyway, right? But we're going to read through this passage in Mark 4, 35 to 41. You're going to recognize this. It's a familiar passage. But on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, Jesus said to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along on the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the storm, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So notice that Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side. So transition, once again, there's several definitions for transition, but in this passage, it means going from one state, stage, subject, or place to another. There was a movement that was happening, a development, an evolution from one form, stage, or style to another. And it can also be a musical piece, leading into the next section of the music. So Jesus wanted to take his disciples through a transition. So he got them in the boat because he wanted to get them to the other side. So keep that concept in mind. So the first thing we need to know about transition is you've got to be following the right leader. Jesus said, let us cross over. Jesus Christ is our leader. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. As long as you're following Jesus, you're going to transition just fine. But you have to have the right leader. And that pattern hasn't changed. Jesus called them, let us pass over. Jesus is calling us. This is a transition time. We're in a new dimension. Open your eyes to see it. Number two, you have to leave the multitude behind. They left the safety of the crowds because they wanted to be a part of something larger. Sometimes everybody's not going to agree with you. A lot of times it's the people that are closest to you that you love the most. Can anyone say amen? The multitude often represents a negativity. Because they like conformity. They like everybody doing the same thing. And so God's calling you to step out and transition. And it doesn't always go over well sometimes with the crowds. Now, some crowds are great in the right environment, right? Big worship gatherings, big prayer gatherings. Yay, love the crowd. We're all pushing forward. But sometimes there is that resistance, and they had to come out of that. So whatever the resistance is that's trying to hold you back, you know what that is. It's like it hooks on you. There's this hook on you. You try to move forward, and it hooks you back. Somebody will say something that gives you doubt. Hallelujah. And so then you're thinking twice about what you heard the Lord tell you to do. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah. A few heads. Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure you're still with me here. The third thing is you have to be willing to get out of the boat. And I mean to get on the boat. You have to be willing to get on the boat. Otherwise, you're not going to get to the other side, right? And so a boat is a vessel that enables you to do something that you could not do in your own ability. And so the church is the vessel of God. He's constructed us to help us reach our destination, our God-given destinations. It's the vehicle that provides protection, direction, encouragement, support, and accountability. And remember, in Matthew, it says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And so it's important to be in the right church. It's important to be planted in a place where you get that encouragement, that support, and teaching, and the worship, and the giving. All of that is a part of the journey that we're on in the boat. Hallelujah. There's lots of teachings about the church in the boat, being the boat. So watch your confession is the next thing. You know, the disciples were in the midst of that storm. They said, we're going to perish. We're going to die. They were frantic. Have you ever been frantic in the midst of something that happened in your life? And you start spewing words that you probably never should have said over the situation? Anybody? Holy Spirit starts to convict you. You know, and you can cancel those words. You know, words have an assignment. It's important what you speak out of your mouth. And it's important to pay attention to the first things that come out of your mouth, because that's what's really in your heart. We can think through and say the right words. Let those come out of our mouth. But in the midst of a difficult situation or something happening, what comes out of your mouth? They said, we're going to die. We are not going to make it. Yet Jesus had told them, we're going over to the other side. You know, if Jesus says we're going to make it, we're going to make it. If God is for us, who can be against us? God's the way maker. He's the one that speaks to the storm. He's the one that calms things. He's the one that straightens everything out. But this is a principle that we really need to watch, especially in the middle of transition, is watch your confession. We don't share with everybody everything that's going on within the move and what God has, because we want to make sure what people are saying over it is God's will, not what they think. People have opinions. Somebody say amen. Everybody has opinions, and that's okay. But I don't want you speaking your opinion over our situation, because God has a greater plan than your opinion. And we can't go by the way things look. We have to go by what the Spirit of the Lord has said, right? Thank you, Jesus. And remember, all of God's promises are yes and amen. It's really better to stay on the positive side than it is to go to the negative side. And it's good to have people in your life that remind you of that. Yeah, the other day, Prophet Vanessa says, Mom, let's stay positive about this. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I'm a problem solver. So it's like I will think of every problem that could happen in this situation, because we might have to solve it, right? So we need to get prepared so we can solve this problem. And I've had to really let go of that. It's like God's my problem solver. I got to rest in Him. And whatever I need to know, God says, we're on a need-to-know basis. When you need to know it, I'll let you know. Right? Otherwise, I can spend a whole lot of time solving problems that haven't even come yet. Hallelujah. Is anybody else like that? You know, oh, okay. I'm in good company. Hallelujah. We might need a support group. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, He's so much greater than anything we're walking through. So we're going to stand on God's promises, because He'll bring them to pass. You know, I finally just realized, you know, that really is God's responsibility. He's the one that said it, right? Okay, so let's see how it happens here. We're going to cooperate every way we can. We'll do all that we're supposed to do, but I'm not going to worry about it. Can anybody else say they're not going to worry? I have to remind myself, too. You got to pull your mind back. You know, you got to put a leash on it and go, oh, no, we don't worry. You come back here. God's got this. God's got this. You have to say it out loud a lot of times. I do. I talk to myself. God's got this. Hey, it's not mine to worry about. I'm just letting this go. It's not mine. I'm not picking that up. Oh, don't judge that. You don't want that judgment to come back on you. Just leave it alone. A lot of times, you know, this is what I tell my Rottweilers. Leave it. And I have to tell myself that. Just, Janet, just leave it. Hallelujah. But anyway, God's well able, right? He's got this. Number five says, learn to handle the storm. And the way we learn to handle the storm is remember the last thing God spoke to us. And when you remember the last thing God spoke to you, that is the thing that you grab a hold of. Hallelujah. And it's important. Write down somewhere. I usually put it in notes on my phone, the last thing, you know, what God has said. He gave me specific instructions for praying over the move the end of November. And Apostle Leon said, that is your prayer right there. That is your intercession right there. Powerful word from God. Just downloaded it to me. That is your prayer. That is your intercession. You hold on to that. You keep speaking that. You keep releasing that. Does anybody believe in speaking, releasing, decreeing in this house? Hallelujah. We're going to do that a little bit later. Number six is allow your faith to grow. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Jesus cried out and asked them, why are you so fearful? You know, why do you have so little faith? And so if we will get to know Jesus during the quiet times of our life, when the storm isn't raging, then you'll know him during the storm. That's the key. Because during the storm, sometimes we need people to pray for us and help us get to that place where we hear God. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying that. We need help from people. That's why God puts you in a body. That's why he puts you in a family. That's why he puts you in a spiritual family. You might as well just admit you're needy and you need help. And that's really hard for humans to do. You know, it really is, because we want to have it all together. We want people to think we've got it all together. We want the perfect family on Facebook and all our perfect pictures and everybody smiling when they know you fight like cats and dogs. Hallelujah. If you ever lived in a family, you know what really goes on, right? It's like, oh, aren't these pictures nice? Hallelujah. It's wonderful when you get to that place where you are at peace in families. That's, I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm just saying we know, right? Nobody's got it all together. But we serve a God who does. And that's where we're journeying. And that's what we need to be positive about. You might be the one that stands up in the family and just releases the peace and speaks peace to the storm. Or you can be an instigator that just keeps it going. We all have a choice, right? But the Lord did say we're supposed to be peacemakers, right? Yes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Yes. Okay, that's another whole message. So, we need the new revelation Bishop's talking about. We're transitioning. We're moving. We're in another dimension. And recognizing who he is. You know, his disciples said, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Once again, we're back to, if God is standing with us, who can stand against us? So regardless of how it looks, God is still on the throne and God is still in charge. And his word will perform what it is sent out to do. So, in conclusion, we're going to wrap this up. We can navigate through the storms and challenges of life and hold fast to our faith and the promises of God and what he has spoken over our lives. We simply have to say, Lord, I'm committed to this journey. I'm going to embrace the vessel of the church and the guidance that it provides and the encouragement. I'm going to remember to speak words of faith as I go through the storms. I'm going to learn to handle the unseen and the seen forces with courage. You know, the unseen forces was the wind, but the seen forces was those waves. And sometimes we feel them both, but we're not real sure about this wind that's hitting us and resisting us. We feel that resistance. We're not real sure about it. But God will help us. We'll learn how to handle those unseen things and the seen things with the courage, and allow our faith to grow by just immersing ourselves in God's Word. That's the best way to get strength. It's God's Word. Read it, listen to it, and we'll gain a deeper revelation of who Jesus Christ is, because He is in us, right? He is living His life through us. So whatever we're going through, hey, He's right there. He's living His life through us if our life is dead to Christ. So trusting in Him, trusting in His power, trusting in Him to continue to confidently move us forward in our destiny. I'm confident God's going to do it. And you got to get to that place. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm confident God's going to do this. He's going to see me through. Not a cocky confidence, but knowing God is faithful. And He will see us through it, because He has every detail prepared for us. And together, we're together in this. Let's say we're together.
We're together.
So together, we're crossing over. We're going to the other side. We're in that transition time. And there are so many opportunities that lie ahead. We don't have all the answers, but God does.
That's right.
God does. And when God is leading us, then we just say, yes, Lord, we're going to follow You. Hallelujah. Just ending with, so what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? Let's say no one.
No one.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, stir up Your people today. Lord, as You are moving us, Lord. God is on the move, and so are we. And Father, we just thank You, Lord, that You're moving us. Lord, in many ways, You are transitioning us, Lord, from one level to another, into another dimension, Father. And I believe it's the dimension of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Bishop said we're moving into the last doctrine of Christ, because if you read Bishop's book, everything goes by the doctrines of Christ. We all need to know the doctrines of Christ and have those in our heart. That's part of our foundation as Christians, is to know those. But the last doctrine of Christ is the raising of the dead. It's the raising of the dead. That's that resurrection life. That's that signs, wonders, and miracles. God is releasing the kingdom of God to that level where we are going to see people raised from the dead. Resurrection life on the inside of them. I believe we can see it right now. I believe we can see it right here. And whatever's going on in your life, I believe God can heal and restore, because there's nothing too great for God. So I encourage you, after we sing, there'll be an opportunity time to come forward for prayer. So Father, bless this group, Father, as we continue on this journey together, looking to You in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Brother Jeff.
Hallelujah. Thank you.